Artlist.io. Every single day I feel the pressure. Double up the work, let's make it extra. Working so my mother get a rest, yeah. Working like I never knew I'm blessed, yeah. Every single day I feel the pressure.
Welcome back. Welcome back to That One Studio. It's your boy C-Rock on the What Are You Made Of show. I got another great guest for you here today, folks. But, you know, I just, first of all, always want to start with gratitude. Thank you for being here. Thank you for the support you've given me, my brands, my businesses. And shout out to all my friends out there and family that support the mission. Well, listen, so this show, as you know, is all about the ingredients that go into making the guests who they are. And I really don't think there's a destination except for eventually we die. So we all die. But the journey is the most important part. And so some people are so focused on this destination thing, which is fine to have a direction, but we need to pay attention to the journey and also understand that we're not the only ones going through difficult times, tough times, setbacks. Other people have as well. And exposing that on the show should inspire you and understand that the ones that keep being successful or become successful are the ones that are persistent. And so that's what the show is all about. I have Wendy Valentine in the building today. Well, not really in my building, but she's in her building. And she's a writer, motivational speaker, master coach, and host of the Midlife Makeover Show, ranked in the top now 1% in the world out of, I don't know how many podcasts there are now, multiple millions. And it's number one in midlife in iTunes and Spotify. And she's a champion for midlifers. So Wendy, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Like I said, I wasn't sure how you found me, but I'm glad you found me.
Yeah, we have our methods, which I'll share with you too later on. But we're relentless in our pursuit to what we want to accomplish here. And at the end of the day, I've told people this before, but we just want to do cool shit with cool people and help people become unstoppable to live in the life of their dreams. So
yeah, I think
that we always have this mission and everything seems to work out when we stay on focus. So
yep, I totally agree.
So before we go further, because I sometimes will get off track, go down rabbit holes. So let's start the show the right way. And that is with this question, Wendy, what are you made of?
Sugar and spice and everything nice. Joking.
That's not it.
No, that's definitely not it at all. Let's see. I'm made of love and fear, marriages and divorces, anger and happiness and joy and sadness. I'm made of the sugar and the salt. I'm made of all of that. That has been my life. Yeah.
Let's see if we can get you angry. Since I've met you here today, I can't even imagine you being mad or angry. So,
I can get angry. Yeah.
I'm gonna have to see what I can do on the show. A challenge.
I'll tell you what though, that's one thing I've learned in life. That we're human beings being human. We're all doing the best that we can. You embrace all of it, not just the happy moments and, you know, the joyful moments, the fulfilling moments like this one. You embrace all of it. And I used to actually think that you could only be happy if everything was perfect. Like every situation of my life, my relationships, my finances. And it's like, oh, it's actually not true. You can actually be happy when everything is not perfect. And that's coming from a recovering perfectionist.
Yeah. Perfect. I always say perfect's not perfect.
Yeah. Exactly. You know, yeah.
Look, and the thing is, I talk about this a lot, is if we can figure out how to enjoy suffering, man, we got it won. If you can figure out making Monday your favorite day of the week, you got it won. Yep.
Well, what's the saying? Pain is inevitable, but suffering is optional.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm actually going through something right now in my life where I'm kind of like my own guinea pig. I was like, okay, let's apply the things that you know to what you're going through. And it's not to say like, you know, the tough times are tough, right? It's challenging. They will challenge you. But it's how you go through it. And I'm trying to go through it like very mindfully. And not allowing it to, I think the old Wendy would have allowed it to completely just crumble me. Like, okay, or like I should be sad. Like, okay, this is going on in my life. I should be angry. I should be sad. I was like, well, maybe I don't want to be. Maybe I'm okay today, right? Yeah. So it's kind of embracing all of the emotions of everything that you go through.
I should have told you something.
And I think too, like, and to not get too far off on either side. It's almost like if you were driving down a three-lane highway, right? and you stay in that middle lane, if you get a little too happy and too, like, not to say like happiness is bad, right? But if you're like, oh, everything is wonderful, like Pollyanna, and you're over there in the left lane, well, when something crappy happens, it's like, then you go over, you know,
contrast,
and the same thing on the other side, right? So just trying to stay very neutral, very mindful, very calm, and just letting life to kind of flow through you.
Yeah, I like it. So, you know, I should have told you before we started the show that like we get vulnerable and transparent here. So, and because I really believe we connect with people better that way. So what's going on, Wendy?
Okay. So in a nutty, nutty nutshell, my dad is actually going through cancer right now. So it's pretty bad. So it's challenging for me for the obvious reasons, right? My brother passed away a few years ago. So as you may know, like with loss, with grief, it's like any other grief that you've had before will bubble back up to the surface. It's like, so it's like a double whammy or a triple whammy. My ex-husband died at the age of 26.
Jeez.
So I've had a lot, but I've learned through every single one. And it sounds maybe crazy, but like, with death, I feel like I'm always reborn. I always, like, it reminds me more of how precious life is and to stop wasting time on stupid crap. And I'm guilty of it, you know, probably like all the time. And I have to remind myself, I'm like, this is it. I mean, you get one wild and precious life. What are you going to do with it? I mean, if you're lucky to live to 100, right? Or I'm planning on 111, but if you're lucky to live to 100, that's like a blink of time in eternity. It's like nothing, right?
Yeah.
To where we think our problems are so big and we allow it to take over our lives, which is like, no, don't do that. There is so much more to life. Like, embrace it as it comes along, but just know that life keeps going.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, the rebirth on death, 100%. I go to funerals. Yeah. Obviously, I have, depending on the closeness of the person, whatever, I have these emotions that stir up, sadness. But I always have this thing at funerals, like, man, life's so short. Like, I got to pick up the urgency. Like, I got to pick up the pace here, you know?
And
the thing about the problems, we make small things bigger problems because we, as human beings, want and need big problems.
Yeah.
And if you're not going out and having big dreams and goals and going after big things, what happens is you tend to make these little simple things bigger problems because we need big problems, but yet we run from big problems. It's weird. It's a weird dichotomy, but we need big challenges. And, you know, I love that you said that.
My greatest breakdowns have been my greatest breakthroughs. And I think, like if you go through life, if you're able to skip through life without any issues, like, oh my God, bravo.
Yeah. But who wants that though? There's no randomity in it.
You're bound to step in some shit. Yeah, like it's going to happen. The key is just to not to step in the same shit twice. Right.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. But it's to go through it with grace and to know while you're going through it, it can make you a better person. And I know when I get to the other side of this right now with my dad, I will be a better person. I will somehow grow from that. I already am, actually. I already feel it. Like, there's something like brewing there, and I know it. I feel it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So as you're going through that, by the way, prayers, thoughts, and everything.
Yeah.
And
you
know, like, just at the end of the day, man, like, can keep encouraging him to live what he has now the best and suffer well. Like, if he's pain, all that, we got to remind ourselves, like, it's crazy to say that and say, may sound insensitive sometimes, but look, man, I mean,
you know what I have to tell you though, my dad had said to me, a couple weeks ago, and it was kind of like, does he do treatment? Does he not do treatment? He actually has a tumor in his throat. So it's hard to say, but he could actually basically die from the tumor in his throat. Like, he would just choke to death, basically.
Yeah.
The treatment doesn't, and he's starting treatment next week. But he said to me, he's like, you know, I don't need the treatment. He's like, I've lived a really good life. I'm 80 years old. I'm ready. And yeah, I would love for him to live another 20 years, right? But don't we all want to get to the end, whatever the end mark is, and say, I've lived a really good life. I'm okay.
Yeah.
Like, I'm okay with what's on the other side, right? I'm okay with leaving this. And I admire that. And my parents did teach me how to live, for sure. Like, you go all out. And I love that.
Damn right. I love it. Mm-hmm. I love it. I love it. All right. So take me back to growing up. Like, what was it growing up like with your father and your family and all that? Like, where did you grow up? What was it like?
I grew up all over. My dad is actually, he was an FBI agent. So we moved around quite a bit. My mom's a musician. So very much like left brain, right brain, right? But great childhood. And then, you know, for me, it's like, well, I've lived all over. I lived in Virginia, Texas, Washington, Arizona, Missouri, Illinois. Oh, I might have left off something. I don't know. But so I got used to kind of moving around and seeing different places and meeting different people. I love that, actually. Right now, I'm in Portugal.
Holy cow, I didn't know that.
Yeah. I'm on the island of Madeira. Which is closer to Africa than it is to Portugal. But a couple of years ago, when I kind of hit my midlife meltdown, crisis, what have you, at the age of 45, I decided to that I what I wanted to do was to buy an RV and take off across the country and to start my own show, which is now the Midlife Makeover Show. So that actually was probably one of the greatest things I ever did for myself. Yeah.
Wow, man. Wow. and were you like just taking it on the road by yourself?
Yep. So yeah, at the age of 45, I had, you know, gone through a divorce. My brother had passed away. And then, my God, I was unemployed, covered in mounds of debt, went through a massive depression. Obviously. I was at this point in my life where I was like, something has got to give and something has got to change. And I realized it was going to have to be me, that I would have to be the one to make the change. And I didn't want to go into the second half of my life like miserable. I was like, no, this is not going to happen. Like, I had to take charge, right? And the last, you know, probably 20, 30 years were like a roller coaster for me. And so I was like, no, I have got to get off this damn roller coaster. I can watch the roller coaster from afar and eat some popcorn, but I got to get off this damn thing, you know?
Yeah, you start getting motion sickness as we get older, right?
Yeah. So I kind of had to like really be honest with myself, take a look at what needed to change in my life and figure that part out. Number one was getting a job. So I actually sent my resume out all over the world and I was like, whichever one comes back is the job that I'll take. And I got a job offer in Chicago selling homes. I was like, I'd never sold homes before, but I was like, okay, fine. It was a new construction. So I moved from Virginia to Chicago in 4 weeks and then took this job that I wasn't crazy about, but I knew it would be the stepping stone to get me to where I'm at now. And my goal was to get out of debt and to be able to buy an RV and take off across the country. And so within a year, this is crazy, I went from making $0 to making $500,000, got out of my credit card debt. I found the RV that I wanted to buy in Nashville. I flew from Chicago to Nashville on a Friday, bought the RV on Saturday, drove it back to Chicago, and I quit my job on Monday. I was like, Bye, Felicia. I'm out. Damn. So, and the rest is history.
And then you just saved up enough money to have a runway?
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
And then, so do you have kids?
I do. So I have three boys. They are 20, 25, and 31. So
and
they
the
actually.
I ask is I wanted to know, like, what did they think of all this? Like, what were their thoughts?
I mean, they know their mom's crazy, but. They're like, wow, look at her on Instagram, you know? But you know what, though? I think they love watching a woman, especially a woman in her 50s, really go after life. And my kids, actually, I'm glad I taught them to also go after life. Like they're amazing. Like there's nothing that they won't do. They're like, okay, this is what I want to do. And then they just go for it. They're never awesome. Like, they're not fearful of living their lives. And yeah. Why should we be? My gosh.
That's awesome. Yeah. So talk to me about relationships and how long were you married? And then like, what happened or what did you learn from it?
So long story short, I was married about 20 years. It was my second marriage. The first one, I was a single mom for a few years when I was very young in my 20s. And then I married someone I felt that would be a great father, a great provider. He was, he is. I didn't choose someone for me. I chose someone that would be like the perfect father, the perfect, right? Like the perfect husband and all of that. And then I woke up one day and I was like, I'm really not happy. And I wasn't able to shine my light into the world the way that I wanted to. Wendy could not be Wendy in that relationship. And we actually had a really good divorce. I mean, there is such a thing that we were able to go, okay, yeah. You know, it's time to move on.
Yeah.
And that divorce was what I needed to continue to live my life the way that I wanted to.
Yeah. And so that was the one after you've been married 20 years?
Yes.
Okay. Yep. Gotcha. Yeah, and yeah, so yeah. What did you learn though? What was the biggest thing you learned from it? Like, was there a lesson there or anything you can share with people that, you know?
Yeah, actually we change, we evolve, relationships change. I think we have to get real with ourselves that if something is not resonating with you anymore, it doesn't make it bad.
Right.
Nothing has to be like fit in certain boxes with certain labels. This is good. This is bad, whatever. But if you need to move on from something, no matter what it is, if it's a career, if it's a relationship, a mindset, like if it's not serving you, like you got to move on.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah. Then when you went on your road trip, how did you know when that was over? And then you needed to get back into, But you know, I mean, you're funny. Still on the road, I guess, because you're in Portugal right now. I don't think you took your RV to Portugal, though.
Yeah, the RV is in Malibu right now waiting on me. I consider myself a spontaneous planner. So I like to have a good idea of where I'm going, but I will pivot when I need to pivot. So at this time in my life, and especially after having raised kids for, you know, over 30 years, right? I'm like, this is my time. I want to see the world. I haven't been to Italy yet. I want to go to Italy. I want to go to Greece. And yeah, I'm in Portugal now. I've traveled all over the United States. And traveling in an RV is so much different than like, okay, flying to go, you know, to go stay in a cabin at Yellowstone is much right. different than like RVing, you know? But yeah, I want to experience all that I can in life. And that's why I think midlife is such a beautiful time. Like sometimes I get frustrated when people are just constantly focusing on the negative aspect of like between 40 and 60s, it's just going to be like, oh my God, menopause this. And oh, and then the birdies are leaving the nest. I'm like, and like... what about the good stuff? I was like, I couldn't wait for the birds to leave the nest. I'm like, I got stuff to do, y'all. So yeah, I think midlife is such a beautiful, beautiful time, a beautiful phase in life, that second act to really get to know yourself more and get to know life more. And I mean, I kind of think of life as like a buffet, right? Like you go up, you sample what you want, you like it, great. You go back for seconds. If you don't like it, then whatever, now you know. But I think so many people are afraid to try things out in life.
Yeah, yeah. So a couple questions. So one, when you're on your road trip, right, you're mm-hmm. by yourself. What yeah. do you do when you get lonely? Like there's got to be moments where it's like, damn, it's, you know.
That's like such a good question.
To hang out with.
Yeah. So, well, in RV parks, there's always people around. Yeah, which yeah. is pretty cool. So, you know what? That was my biggest fear, was being lonely. And I was not lonely for a second. And it's what I needed. I needed to be alone, actually. So I think there's definitely a difference between being alone and being lonely.
Mm-hmm.
And I really, well, first of all, I used that time to even, you know, to build the podcast. I was busy doing all of those things. And I was just I was enjoying hanging out with Wendy. I could pour a glass of wine. I'd sit there and I'd watch, you know, some Netflix or something like that. I had the greatest time. And, yeah. and just being on the open road, blasting the music and you know, oh my gosh, that I love that.
How long did you do that in the RV?
Almost 2 years.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's crazy. And yeah. so what was the scariest time you had, or the most challenging time you had on the road?
Most challenging. Oh God. There was this one place I went to, their power went out. My generator went out. I had no cell service and I was like stuck in like the mountains in California and it was super dark. I couldn't drive to go anywhere and I was just stuck. And I remember I was like, oh my God, I didn't know how to fix anything. And I mean, I hadn't really driven an RV before, so I didn't know what the heck I was doing. But then the next day came, the sun rose, and I was like, okay, now I can see if I can fix this thing. I was pulling out the manuals. And it was those tiny little victories of even just fixing, you know, the generator or whatever, like the simplest things. I was like, oh my gosh, I did it, you know, pat on the back. But yeah, and I, you know, it taught me though to not stress so much. Like if something's not going right, like it'll pass. You'll figure it out. I think mm-hmm. I love that quote of leap and the net will appear. And like sometimes we don't leap because we don't have the perfect plan or we don't know how to do something. Like you'll figure it out. The yeah. net will appear. And we don't realize that we are the net. Like we will catch ourselves. Mm-hmm. Like you don't. And I think for the first time in my life, I had finally had my own back. I was like, I got you, girl. Like I became my own best friend on that RV journey, which is pretty
yeah.
cool.
Yeah. yeah. And so from the beginning of it to the end, I guess like how much did you change and like who did you become besides your best friend?
Well, you ask good questions.
Just whatever comes to my mind. So I just go with it.
yeah. So
thank you.
mm-hmm. I became more of Wendy. I love the, you know, Michelangelo, when they asked him how he carved the Statue of David. And he said, oh, like basically, like that's easy. I just carved away at everything that was not him. And then he revealed the angel and the marble. And so that's what I did. I mean, it took me a long time with a big chisel to chisel away all the shit that was not me. Because as you know, like, whether it's from childhood or in our 20s and 30s and 40s and relationships and society and social media, we adopt all these beliefs and thoughts and habits that like, that's not even me. And I had to stop and ask myself, okay, who are you then? Like, or who are you not? I basically had to unlearn a lot during that time.
Yeah.
To really get to the core of who I was.
Yep, that makes sense. Did you run into any wackos or weirdos or anything? And you're like, shit, how am I going to get away from this person? Or,
let's see. No, I really didn't.
No scary moments like that at all? Like,
no.
That's awesome.
There was never any moments where I was like scared. A lot of people on social media, they were following and they're like, are you scared to be out there? I'm like, no, like it's not. I wasn't like parked on the side of the road or something like that. You know, like these parks now are like, I'm a glamper, you know, like if you can see.
You didn't go to any truck stops and.
Oh yeah. No. Like I am such a glamper. But actually like on the, well on social media and then even on the front cover of my, of the website, it has a picture of the RV, but it's a glamping, like like it's a glamper. So yeah.
But so guys, for that website that she just mentioned, it's wendyvalentine.com, I believe, right?
Yeah.
So go check that out, wendyvalentine.com.
Yeah.
And also she's on Instagram, wendy_valentine_. Go check her out. As we wind down here, a couple other questions. What are you working on right now that's got your focus and got you excited? You're in Portugal. So but like what are you doing over there? Like what's got your attention right now?
So right now, I am working on a book called Women Waking Up: 7 Steps to Master Midlife. So the proposal, send me good vibes, Mike. It's already at publishers, so hoping for a good book deal here soon.
Let's go.
Yep. So I'll be finishing up the book. I've got an online course that will be coming out that goes along with the book. And I'm kind of thinking maybe of starting a digital magazine called the Modern Midlife Magazine.
And focus so mainly on women? Or is it going to be for everybody?
No. You know, it's interesting. My audience is mostly women, but I still get men that listen. It's funny because sometimes they'll send me an email. They're like, I just forwarded that episode to my wife. She really needs to hear that. Okay, sure, whatever, you know?
No, that's not how you do it, fellas, by the way.
Yeah.
You don't do that. You got to focus on yourself. Change yourself to the point you want to see in your wife. Or your spouse or whatever. Because let me tell you something. Most of the stuff that we see that annoys, this is how I've been married for so long. Most of the stuff I see that ever annoys me or bothers me and my wife, I just turn internal and see what is it about myself that like I'm seeing in her.
Yeah.
Like, I take responsibility. That's the case. Fellas, don't do that. What she just said, Wendy just said, but that guy, I don't know who he was.
She
but
needs to hear that.
That's
especially
that's
if it's like, one on menopause. But
yeah, that's like the people sitting in church and the pastor saying something in church and the wife's going like this to the husband to make sure he hears the lesson. That never goes over good. I don't know why people do that.
I know.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, but we talk about all sorts of stuff on the show: relationships, health, mindset, traveling, retirement, finances, everything. I mean, that's midlife, anything goes, right? So
yeah, and you do one show a week.
I'm never bored with the topics.
You do one show a week, or how often? What's your
two a cadence? Week right now. Every now and then I'll do three. But it's been great though. The guests that I have on the show are incredible. I love interviewing. I need to do more of this.
Yeah. Yeah.
In my spare time.
Yeah. I'll show you how to do that. Anyway, so the other thing is I want to wrap the show up with this final question. What is the vision? You said spontaneous planner. I understand that. But like, what is the vision that you have right now? Like if I was to snap my fingers and make something happen, because I have kind of that power. I mean, I think I do. I don't know. Anyway, if I could do that, what would that vision look like? Paint that picture for me.
Okay. That's easy. I already have it. It would be an A-frame that I would be sitting inside my A-frame, looking out over the ocean here in Madeira, Portugal. I will have 3 books that have been published, and I'd have a really successful podcast, which I already do, but even more successful. And I would just be enjoying life, hiking, having great relationships and lots of fun, and that's the vision.
Yeah. All right. Well, I got to tell you, I could do this and make it happen like right now, but that's not how the world
Give
works,
me an
Wendy.
A-frame.
No, Wendy. So you got to go through a bunch of shit to get there. That's what you got to do. So I could do this. I have the power, but
no,
you gotta,
don't do it.
It wouldn't do good for you. So and then what are the men like?
I'm this far, Mike. I can do it.
What are the Portuguese men like?
Oh, they're so nice. I mean, men and women, they're so friendly here, very welcoming. They speak English, thank God, because Portuguese is so hard to learn.
But are they like Italians, like Italian guys? Because like not American Italians, they're different. Italian guys, like some of the people that I know, friends of my family members, they are very aggressive. But because like friendly aggressive, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
are Portuguese like that as well? Like they
Very, very nice, very polite.
That's
it's
good.
Have you been to Portugal?
No.
Oh, you gotta come.
Yeah, no,
it's so nice.
Yeah.
And it's called the land of eternal spring on the island of Madeira because it's like always 70 degrees here.
Like San Diego weather.
Mm-hmm. But even better.
Yeah. Well, awesome. Well, Wendy, I want to thank you for being here. Appreciate your time and sharing and being vulnerable and transparent with everything. We could talk for hours, but
I
unfortunately, I respect your time and we're out of time. But guys, I want to thank all of you for being here. However you're consuming this content, whether you're watching or listening, I appreciate you. Make sure you subscribe, rate, let your friends know about the show, family about the show, let associates know, anybody that you think should hear this show, with all the great guests that we have here on the What Are You Made Of show. Just make sure they know about it. I can't thank you enough. And Wendy, thanks for being here.
Thank you. It's been awesome.
All right, guys, you know the deal. Until next time, Wendy, hang tight, by the way. Until next time, be that one.
Artlist IO. Every single day I feel the pressure. Double up the work, let's make it extra.